This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This show is supported by generous listeners like you through our Patreon. This episode was underwritten by the Tamsin G Association. To learn more about ways to support Oh My Dollar and get cool perks like exclusive live streams and cat stickers, you can visit ohmydollar.com/support.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm your host, Lillian Kerbake.
And I'm your other host, Will Romy. We're hungry this morning.
Yeah, so today we are going to talk about how to stop eating your budget away with restaurant and bar spending. And this actually came out of the fact that, Will, you know, I publish, like, every month I publish what my expenses are on my website. And you can go look at it if you have any interest in it. Mm-hmm. I also publish how many burritos and tacos I eat per month, you know, just in case you care. And a lot of people have been asking me how I spend so little money on eating out, and I don't think I'm in any means an expert, nor do I think my restaurant spending is amazing. I spend probably, let's actually see what my average is.
Let's run the numbers.
Yeah, my average is $25 a month. I spend $25 a month on restaurants, and like, which to me is like, okay, you know, I go out to eat like once or twice a month, I would say. I'm not a foodie, but I like to eat food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went to, for my birthday last year, I got taken out to an incredibly fancy restaurant for me, like a pre-fee, like, you know, you sit there.
Oh, yeah,
there,
what kind of food?
Orchestrated. It was called, it's like a local place that does like plant-based, like everything is, you all sit at a counter and it's like, you know, chef's table or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Style, and it was like choreographed with the music that they were playing, like how they serve the food to you. Anyway, it was really like, it was an interesting experience, but I kind of learned out of that is not for me. That's not where I get value in my food money. I was like this was like a fun experience to do once, but like I would rather, as opposed to spending $85 on this like 2-hour experience, I'd rather get like 3 months worth of burritos.
Right, so, spreading it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely. So that being said, but I think that there's a lot of different ways, like even if you are a foodie, if it is something that you value, going out to fancy restaurants, you can find ways to like cut back in other ways with restaurant spending to kind of even it out. And for me, I think one of the things that is a big driver for me is that I like restaurants more when I anticipate them. So when we were getting ready for the show, we were talking about ramen.
Exactly. Yeah, I had a great ramen meal with a friend, but I definitely planned for it the day before. So I was eagerly awaiting the ramen all day.
Yeah, and
even kind of skipping out on some other snacks just in anticipation.
There's nothing like being incredibly hungry and then getting a meal that you've been anticipating.
Yeah, a bowl full of noodles bigger than my head.
Yeah, and if I know, like, if I have like a particular restaurant meal that I really like this one place's burritos or this other place's nachos, then I like, if I anticipate that meal And I get what I expected. Oh, I just like it so much more. So, we're just hungry now. It's pretty early in the morning when we're recording this, but I'm like ready for lunch now after mm-hmm. this whole thing. Anyway, here are some ways to not get hungry, I guess. So one of the big things is planning ahead. And for me, if I know when my restaurant spending spikes, so like, if I'm stressed at work, my restaurant spending will spike. Or maybe when your partner is out of town and you just like don't want to cook by yourself. Like I'm one of those people that like doesn't like cooking for myself as much as I like cooking for someone else. Or like when I'm at the hospital, I have to go in for tests every 6 weeks for labs. And there's a one restaurant that just the smell of fried food will waft to me as I'm walking into the hospital.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to steer away from.
Yeah. But I know what my triggers are, right? So I try to plan ahead for those. So I either plan ahead to know like, okay, I will always go to that restaurant when I go get my lab tests. Or I know like, hey, my partner's going to be out of town next week, so I'm going to cook on Sunday and have a lot of leftovers so that I can just be lazy and reheat leftovers when they're gone.
Yeah, leftovers are key.
oh, leftovers are great. And I think leftovers might be like, this is all just an elaborate episode to tell you how to create more leftovers in your life. So another big thing, too, if you just want to reduce restaurant and bar spending, but you don't really want to go out less, is to skip beverages, especially alcohol. I asked on Twitter what people's advice was, and that was just, it was a cascade of people saying skip booze. And it really can reduce your total bill. I almost never get a beverage other than water. We're lucky in Portland. Usually water is free. I know if you live if you live in Europe, it's like quite normal to charge you for water at a restaurant.
When I was in Europe over the summer, they kept on charging for water, and it was consistently more than a Pilsner.
Yes, yeah.
I drank less water.
Yeah, water is more expensive in Germany than beer. And that was one of the big things, is that I would always just carry a water bottle around with me, and that was like another thing where planning ahead really factored in, was that like water is expensive in Germany compared to beer. But they're both more expensive than like filling up the water at my apartment
and
having it with me. But if I don't plan ahead, then, you know, it's a big deal. If you do have kids, look into Kids Eat Free Nights. There's a lot, especially like local chains or big chain restaurants will have a Kids Eat Free Night, or kind of like lower market, like, you know, like Mexican restaurants or Italian restaurants that are kind of local and not like high end restaurants will often have a Kids Eat Free Night. And that's a great way to do it, because just adding up kids' food, especially when, you know, they're probably not going to finish it.
Can you imagine having to pay for other people all the time?
We have some extreme childless privilege going on right here. Another thing I do is I sign up for the mailing list at local restaurants I really like. So like my favorite brunch place has been sending me a 20% coupon every month for like 11 years. And I don't go to there every month, but I know that I'm going to get that coupon. And it definitely does like drive my decision to go there more often.
Yeah. And that's kind of coming back to planning ahead, like you're talking about. If you are planning ahead, you can take advantage of those discounts or deals or...
Yeah. And if you're the kind of person that's going to get a coupon and then be like, oh, my God, now I can think about nothing but brunch, maybe this isn't the solution for you. Right. You know, if it's going to make you go there more often. But it can be a really good way to plan ahead, especially if you know that you're always going to get brunch or something like that at that place. Like my local coffee shop, I'm on their mailing list and they're like two blocks from my house, and they will just randomly send a like, it's Wednesday, get $2 off. And that I kind of like tell myself, like, okay, you can go to the coffee shop next time they have one of those discounts and they send in a like, hey,
that makes sense, yeah.
Today is a cheap day because it's close and it's a nice perk for myself. This is a big one. I think that this is a big driver in a lot of financial decisions, but engaging your friends and your coworkers, so the people that you spend the most time with and you're most likely to go out to eat with, engage them in a no restaurant challenge. Like, it turns out that this is one of those things that is like kind of a perpetual New Year's resolution for a lot of people, but it's very hard if you have a culture of always going out to eat. So if you, all your coworkers are always going on, you know, food cart trips during lunch, pick them out in a time that's a stretch for you, like a week or a month or even a year if you're super extreme, and challenge your friends or your coworkers to a no restaurant challenge. And it doesn't have to be across the board. It could just be no eating out at lunch, or no, yeah. You know, no happy hours for a month. And it makes it a lot easier if you're trying to save money overall. And then you can just pick a non-restaurant reward at the end so that you know, still have saved some money. Or if you want, you can just see if you can lower your baseline and then reward yourself with like a fancier thing, or all of your friends go out for drinks at the end of the month, you know, like just to see if you can change your baseline.
Yeah. Well, and with your friends too, it's more of a social thing too, which is often, I think, what drives people into restaurants.
Yeah, totally. And you know, for me, it was realizing that how many of my friends also didn't want to eat out at restaurants. Uh-huh. And we were all kind of always saying yes to each other because it was the only thing we could think of. But then once we challenged that, we came up with a lot of ideas. I had one summer where I had a no restaurant lunch club for a month with friends, and we had previously always met up. We all worked at different places, but we would meet up and like go to the food carts at lunch. And instead we started meeting in the park for lunch every day. And we had a rotating schedule of who packed lunch for everyone else.
That's a good idea.
Which was like awesome. I'm not sure I could manage that level of coordination in my life anymore, but it was super fun because no one had to pack lunch every single day, but you would put more effort in on the day that you were packing lunch because you're packing it for other people, right?
So you wouldn't just be like, just yourself.
Yeah, here's some hummus and some crackers. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to like make something good. And it was really fun. I kind of see my friends every day and like go hang out in the park. So
no, that sounds like a great way to do that.
I am a big fan of having suggestions of non-restaurant activities at the ready or cheaper options. So if a friend always suggests that you meet up at an expensive restaurant, maybe have a close by less expensive restaurant as a suggestion if you just want to like spend a little less. Like, I'm a big fan of recommending burrito lunches.
Yeah.
One, because I think it tends to meet a lot of food needs, and we live in Portland where everyone...
Yeah, it's customizable.
Yeah, it's like very customizable, less than like an Italian restaurant, which doesn't meet a lot of food needs for different people. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm only picking on burritos and Mexican food, but...
I just like burritos a lot.
I do really like burritos a lot. So, you know, always having a close by less expensive restaurant, because if someone is always like, oh, let's go to this one place, and you're like, oh, what about this place that's two blocks away and it's like half the price, that can really help. With friends, consider inviting friends over for a drink and snacks instead of going out to happy hour. A six pack costs less than a cocktail out in many cases, right? And it can give you more time to hang out with your friend, right? You're not going to feel the pressure of like, oh, we have to order another drink if we want to keep hanging out. And if you want a suggestion that doesn't involve cleaning your apartment, which is, for me, like a big driver in not having friends over.
Find the couch, yeah.
Consider a walk with friends or a trip to a cool free spot in town. So, like, I have a kind of mental list of neat free viewpoints I like to recommend. They're not all outside. So, like, one of them is we have a big tower in Portland called Big Pink. And they actually, up on their, like, third floor, which has, like, a pretty good view, they have like business lunch tables that you can just like pack a lunch and come to, and it's a really fun place to have like a late afternoon or a lunchtime like meeting with a friend.
It's a good tip.
Or you can go on like a non-restaurant excursion, like I don't know, you know, like the fancy people house tours or whatever.
House tours are fun. Libraries are fun.
Libraries are really fun. And they don't all have to be active things, right? So it could just be hanging out and playing video games or board games or watching YouTube. I like silent reading parties, which is just like me and my level of interest in social activity, which is like I'll walk with a friend, we'll chat, and then we'll like go hang out and read because we both want to like read, but we also want to like see other humans.
Yeah, that's a good way to do both.
This is the sign of someone that works from home, where you're like, I would just like to hang out in a room with someone else.
And where there are other people, yeah.
Fancy hotel lobbies make really excellent spots for reading parties, just as a note.
That's a good idea.
And you can totally get a drink from the hotel bar if you want, or you could just hang out in the hotel lobby. They're very used to that. I like to like dress up and then go to like vintage hotel lobbies.
That's a great idea.
It's like very fun and great places for photo shoots. And then obviously libraries, as we mentioned, they are the quintessential free place to hang out.
There's books there.
Yeah. And if you want to get extreme, you can get into New Year's resolution mode and combine saving money with a goal to work out more and invite your friend on a jog.
Yeah, doubling down on your goals.
Yeah, just if you want to get extreme, I have a workout buddy. It's very fun. She actually has an apartment building that has like a nice gym, so I go over to her house and work out, and then we have coffee in her apartment after.
Okay, that's several of these we've talked about. Perfect.
Yeah, I know. It's like and it's a good way to also like make sure I see my friend and keep ourselves accountable to our workout goals. So, you know, and you don't have to be an excellent cook to invite your friends over. You don't have to have a dinner party. You can go to Trader Joe's and make some Trader Joe's tapas out of like, you know, random prepackaged things. Like you're having social time with friends does not have to be predicated on going out to restaurants. So let's take a quick break, and
quick
we have
break.
Even more ideas. Our show is supported by listeners like you and sponsors. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
The NBA playoffs are back, and on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back from break We are talking about how to save money on restaurants and...
And food.
Food in
lunch,
general.
Business
coffee,
lunches.
All the things. So this one might seem kind of obvious, but we talked about the planning ahead. If you know that you're going to go to certain restaurants on a regular basis, like for example, like your family always comes over during the holidays and you all go out to Olive Garden or something, check gift card discount and coupon websites. Like there's a ton of them for national and like local chain restaurants. Like pizza is one of those things where if you plan ahead, you should like never have to pay full price for pizza, especially delivery pizza. So just check the gift card discount websites. You can often get like an Olive Garden, you know, gift card for like 20% off or something, which can be a big deal. It's more breadsticks for you. And then I think this is the big one. So for me, a big driver for me in eating out, second to social pressure, is convenience.
Yeah, for sure.
So just being like, oh, I don't want to cook. Like, I don't want to deal with it, especially when I'm stressed out or I'm depressed or any
of those
things.
Worked all day, you're tired. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
You just need food in you.
Yeah, I'm not even going to be that satisfied with the restaurant meal, but I just don't want to cook. So I am a big fan of setting up systems for cooking dinner that make it so that you don't want to rely on Postmates or DoorDash or getting takeout. So this is one of the big things here. Like, find what your lazy meal that isn't eating out is. So a slow cooker recipe that works for you that like, oh, you know you're going to have a long day at work, set up that slow cooker before you go to work. Or things that you can always have in your house that make cooking dinner easier than going out. So, or make eating a packed lunch at work instead of going out, like even things that you could bring in on Monday to your office, leave in your work fridge if you have one that just is there.
Yeah. The quick PB&J is a staple for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of like hummus and some like pre-chopped veggies just in the fridge at work means that like I will probably not go out to eat because I like at the very least I have
calories
that.
There.
So for me, like, It depends on what it is for you and like what your level of cooking and interest in what access to like what facilities you have. But like at home, this could be microwave meals or like mac and cheese or just having pre-chopped ingredients that make it easy to throw together a stir fry or like some kind of batch cooking that you do on the weekend. So going and grocery shopping with the intention of setting yourself up for those lazy nights ahead of time is really great because obviously like if you're like, oh, I don't have any food in my house and I'd have to go to the grocery store and then I would have to cook something, that creates
too many steps.
But if you're like, okay, Sunday I'm at the grocery store, I'm gonna shop for the week, and like, hey, I am gonna get that like pre-chopped stuff from the deli because I know that if I have that in the fridge, I'll throw that together.
Yeah. Yeah. Quick sandwich or whatever.
Yeah. For me, mine is if I always have like pasta and ingredients for a quesadilla, then in my fridge, like I can make a quesadilla and like
quesadillas
have
are quick.
Yeah. Like if I chop veggies on the weekend, or if I just want to throw together a quesadilla, I can have a plate of food in front of me in less than 15 minutes, which is like less time than it takes to walk and order from a restaurant. It's way less time than it takes for a Postmates delivery to show up. And I can like be done. I can just have food in me, right?
Yeah.
Which is really great. And if you struggle with cooking due to like health or family reasons, or you just like never learned, try to figure out what that best easy home meal is for you. It might be like a microwavable dinner. It might be like, you know, reheatable pizza, quesadilla, something like that. And just make sure that you're set up for that. If you're trying to like learn how to cook more, there are two websites that I use sometimes. One is called Supercook. And that one will like let you type in the ingredients that you have in your house and then provide you with a recipe.
Okay.
Which is very fun. And then the other one, I can't say the full name on air, but it's WTF Should I Make for Dinner? And it will give you recipe ideas just randomly.
Yeah.
And you can be like, I don't eat meat or I eat meat. And that's it. And it'll just keep generating recipe ideas, which is good. I tend to just get stuck in ruts. And that can be good if I'm trying to like decide. My biggest recommendation is if you're hungry and you're trying to decide on recipes, stay off BuzzFeed or Pinterest perfect looking meals or like those Instagram life hacks where they show you how to make something in a mason jar because they all tend to be more complicated and just head to a website that focuses on practical cooking. So something like Budget Bites.
Mm-hmm.
If you are trying to plan ahead or like learn how to cook, I cannot recommend the library enough. Like, almost all libraries, public libraries, have great sources of cookbooks, and you don't have to spend money on them. And in reality, you probably just need to go through them, find some recipes you like, get used to cooking them, rather than like ordering a bunch from Amazon because you've convinced yourself that you're gonna never eat out again. So
yeah, you don't even need cookbooks. Just wing it. It's always good. One of my favorites lately has been every time I go to make one pizza, I'll make two or three and then freeze the other two. So it's kind of a quick DIY frozen pizza.
Batch cooking is like amazing. If you take anything from this, is that leftovers can be your freaking savior, mm-hmm. which is like, it doesn't take that much effort to double your quantity usually, because once you're like chopping things or sauteing or baking things, then it can just make a huge difference. I even like to make large quantities of stuff and freeze it. So in the summer when we have tons of zucchini, we will just pump out batches of zucchini bread and throw zucchini bread like muffins in our freezer.
That's a good idea.
And they're great because like two of those is essentially like a perfect mid-morning snack. And I'm never going to like go buy a zucchini muffin at the store, but if it's there in my fridge, I'm going to heat it up and it's going to be great. So, all right. That's just trying to figure out what your lazy but not takeout or restaurant option is.
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everyone based on where you're at in your life and your cooking skills and everything, but figure out what it is for you and plan ahead for it. All right. Here's another one. Taking cash to bars and not bringing your card with you. Bring your ID, especially if you live in Oregon. But this is a huge one for me. Here's the thing. If you're going to bars to drink, alcohol reduces your willpower. Mm-hmm. So decide on your budget for bars when you're sober and clear-minded, and don't bring your, you know, nonstop card that you can just, you know, keep
force
racking up a tab
on.
Force yourself into it. So if you say, I'm only going to have one drink, and you only have a $10 bill, then guess what? You're only going to have one drink. So take out cash, or if you get paid in cash, take a 10, a 20, 30, whatever your budget is, and just, that's it. When you run out of money, you run out. This is hard if you have that friend that's always like, I want you to have another drink, just I'll cover it. So, you know, watch out for that friend. Watch out for that friend anyway. All right. What about coffee? Will, you work in coffee. Do you still go out and get coffee?
Hardly. I spend probably $10 a week in coffee, and I think I'm consistently drinking some of the best coffee in the world.
Nice.
I just make pour overs at home. I buy, you know, about a pound of coffee every 2 weeks-ish.
Yeah, that's about what our consumption levels are per person.
Yeah, I think about 12 ounces a week is probably a best bet. I'll still buy a shot of espresso here and there, but I mean, otherwise I usually just make coffee at home. We also have office coffee, which isn't, you know, I won't brag about my office coffee as much as I'll brag about my home coffee, but it's still good.
Yeah, free coffee is, you know, like, I feel like I've worked in a lot of nonprofits that have never had coffee budgets, and so I worked in an office with free coffee, and it took me a while to be able to be like, stop drinking it just because it's free, because the part of me that wanted to optimize was like, but you get free coffee.
Oh yeah, and we've got a good coffee sponsor too at X-Ray, so we're
nice.
We do well for ourselves.
here's my recommendations, right? Like we've talked before on the show how I kind of think this like latte factor is crap. If you value coffee, spend money on coffee, right? Just put it in the budget. But if it's something that you want to change, like it's a big issue for you where you're like, oh, I spend a lot of money on coffee and I don't like feel great about how I'm spending money on it. Notice that usually coffee spending, especially like convenience coffee spending, has to do with your routine and planning ahead. So it could be like one thing that drives me is that when I was really stressed at work, I would want to go get coffee because I'd want to get out of the office, and it turned out the walk was like 90% of it, but it was also that feeling of like, I'm stressed out and I want to treat myself, and this is like a treat that is like an attainable treat, right? Like it's like an easy treat rather than like, I don't know, one of my coworkers would just go onto eBay and start buying Kate Spade bags when she was stressed out, and like obviously I was like, well, I could have a coffee every day and spend less than one Kate Spade bag.
Yeah, by comparison.
But like, see if there's a way to change your routine. So it could be bringing a French press into work to make a nice cup of coffee in the afternoon instead of going out for a coffee run, or it could be like just going on a walk around the block with your coworker instead of a mid-morning coffee run. I had a lot of walking meetings at my old job and it was like awesome. Another thing I did was that I started bringing a thermos of coffee to my job that was next to the fancy coffee shop.
That's a good idea.
And I knew that I would want coffee by 7 a.m. I started work at 5:30 a.m. and inevitably I would want coffee by 7 a.m. and they opened at like 6:30 at the coffee shop. And so I would just be like, ugh. So I finally just got to the point where I would set up my coffee maker the night before to make me coffee, fill a thermos. And it was like a delight every morning when I'd be like, oh, I want coffee because I smell it coming from next door. And then I would have a thermos of coffee. It was great. It turned out I didn't want their coffee. I wanted some coffee. And
yeah, a coffee. I get it.
And it was a lot, you know, it cost me a lot less. So another thing to consider is just try reducing the days that you stop for a latte. So like maybe right now you stop Monday through Thursday. Try to only stop on Wednesdays or only stop, you know, on the day before the staff meeting when you know you're going to be really stressed out. And that makes it a special day rather than an everyday occurrence. And like you've cut your spending down by 75% if you can go from 4 days a week to one day a week.
Here's some barista insider knowledge. Stop putting bullshit in your lattes. Because that adds up. Like if you're getting like your almond milk and vanilla latte, you're adding like on average about $1.25 depending on where you're going.
I will say, as someone who doesn't drink dairy, I am so frustrated that soy milk, which is cheaper in the store than fancy dairy milk, which is like I go to fancy coffee shops, so they all use like fancy milk. They charge me like $1.
Yeah. Well, it's a bulk purchasing thing probably, but still the vanilla adds up, your size adds up, and you're really just getting extra milk when you're getting a large latte versus a small latte. You're really paying that premium just for the extra liquid that doesn't even make you more wakeful,
more caffeinated. Here's our barista pro tip from Will. I mean, the other thing I would say is like if you are so excited about like those seasonal drinks or whatever, like if you have a Starbucks habit, and I'll call them out because they're everywhere, right? But like if you have a Starbucks habit, this is where those gift cards can like really come into play, because you can get Starbucks gift cards for like quite a lot less, and so you just plan ahead for it and you know that it's your treat, it's part of your budget, right? Like it's okay to spend money on coffee, and I don't want to like shame people for spending money on lattes, but if you feel like you want to change it or you want to reduce it, see what you can do. Try changing your behavior, try gift cards. Any of those things.
Punch cards. If you're not using a punch card,
use the punch cards.
You're paying 10% more, assuming there's 10 punches.
Yeah.
And they vary. But
yeah. I used to not drink coffee or caffeine at all. And so I spent a lot of my time at one particular tea house. And I have a punch card that is so filled that they had like, it was a punch card for all the different kinds of tea you would get. Like if you got like a latte, it would be on like a certain line, or a regular pot of tea would be.
Okay.
My card was so battered because they had filled every single line and they just like rewritten, because I would only get one kind of tea. They like rewritten and it was like completely destroyed.
It just lost its structural integrity.
Yeah, no, it had fallen apart.
And did you trade it in for like a bag of tea leaves?
I mean, I just kept getting my extra card and then we would like use it, and it was great. It was great. I'd get my extra tea. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. They also had an arcade in their basement that only the staff were allowed to go to, but I was there often enough that I went to the arcade in the basement.
Cool.
They were thanked in my thesis acknowledgments, so that's how much time I spent at that tea shop.
This is drifting, but I'm so curious.
That was a weird couple years of my life. Anyway, all right. And this is like, I hate that this is my final piece of advice, but this is like the dorkiest piece of advice that I can give. I am a big fan of working out after work as a substitute for happy hour.
Okay, that makes, yeah.
And it's like, I like it because it kills two birds with one stone, but like that is the part of the day where my willpower is the worst. But like it turns out the endorphins you get from like hanging out with people are pretty similar to the endorphins that you get from like doing hard cardio for 60 minutes.
Sense.
So I love going to things that I'll like look forward to, but have trouble making myself go to. So like dance class, or like a group lifting weights class. And it works out even better if I have a class scheduled through like ClassPass, which I've talked about before on this, because you can't cancel without a fee less than 12 hours in advance.
Right.
So the night before, I'll be like, yes, tomorrow I'm going to go to the gym. And usually like at 8 a.m., I still feel fairly confident that I'm going to go to the gym. And by then, I know that it's going to cost me $20 to decide to go to the bar instead of the gym.
Right, you're penalizing yourself.
Yeah.
For
it's pre-commitment. Yeah. It's a pre-commitment.
Negative reward.
And instead of like having coworkers be like, oh, you should come out for drinks with us, I can just be like, oh, I actually have to go to this class. Like, I have something scheduled and like it's going to cost me money. So instead of just this vague idea that I should hit the gym as opposed to go out for happy hour with coworkers. And it's totally dorky, but it's true. And then it turns out, like, when I get out of the gym, I just want to shower and I don't want to, like, go out to a restaurant.
But yeah, I see you're kind of forcing the issue in a good way.
Yeah, and that could go for lots of different things, you know. So this also helps, like, if you have kids and you have to pick them up or take them to activities, then suddenly the bar is less interesting.
Yeah, or more interesting. Who knows?
Maybe more logistically challenging.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. That was a lot. Hopefully you found some advice. And I think the advice can mostly be summed up to plan ahead and leftovers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
that's it. I'm not saying don't
know when you're going to be hungry.
And if you like going to restaurants and it doesn't bother you, then just budget for it. The end.
Yep.
And now all I really want is some, I think this recording this episode has had the opposite effect on me, is that I think I want to go out to eat for lunch now because we've been talking about it for so long. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So are you trying to spend less at restaurants? How much do you spend? Do you know? Is this an easy thing for you? Like, both Will and I were like, you just don't go out to restaurants. But or is this something that's really challenging for you? Do you do a lot of it? Let us know at questions@ohmydollar.com or tweet us @anomalily or @ohmydollar.
That wraps our show for today. Our producer is Will Romy. Our intro music is by Aaron Parecki. And your host and personal finance educator is Lillian Kerbick. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.